I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Heather Engel, CEO of the Las Vegas Rescue Mission. The local nonprofit's Intact Families program is innovative and crucial to our community as a growing number of families face homelessness for a variety of reasons. Heather, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is the Las Vegas Rescue Mission?
So many things. I think that's kind of the best thing about it is that we cover many different populations that we help. The Rescue Mission has been around since 1970, and it's just grown in evolution, you know, in time over those past, 53 years now. And so we cover people in recovery. So we have an inpatient free recovery program for men and women. We do emergency shelters for men and women. We do extended stay shelter for men and women. And we have a thrift store. And we serve about 30,000 meals a month, which is about 1,000 meals a day.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is. It's quite wonderful.
Now, what is the Intact Families Program?
The Intact Families Program, we're the only ones running it in the Valley. And it is with the county. We work partnership with the county on this one. And it's where we're able to keep the whole family unit together, no matter how they identify. So we've kind of renovated a spot for them. And that means that they can identify as a traditional family or sisters or brothers or just friends or mom, dad, you know, really however they choose to identify. And we're not having to put them in separate shelters. So typically the women would go in the women's shelter with the children and the men would go into the men's shelter. And so, you know, they're not together the whole time. And, you know, family unity is very important. Connection is extremely important, especially with those that we regard as family. And there is no time limit on this program, which is wonderful because they're not feeling like they're getting rushed out of anything. Because a lot of times when we're trying to fix things, you know, and handle things, it takes time. And not only does it take time, we want them to feel relaxed. We don't want them to feel rushed. We want people to be able to work with us hand in hand, you know, in their lives. Currently, since 2020, when we started this program, that team has placed 205 families. So it's been amazing.
Wow. Okay. So how does it work? Do you have separate men's shelters, women's shelters, and family shelters?
Correct. Yes, we do.
Wow. Okay. Now, why is it so important to keep families together when they're facing homelessness?
I think it's good to keep families together all the time. In general, I mean, I think that, again, it's no, however they identify as a family, they've experienced life together and hardship, clearly. And so when we're separating people into separate areas, it's not a chance for them to really catch up on their day, you know, and connect and be, if they have children with them, right, connecting with the children and being able to read to your children and do homework with your children as a family unit. And, you know, it helps and aids a lot in the recovery of what's going on in their life when they can unify and do it together.
Yeah, that's awesome. How often do you see homeless families?
Every day, all day long.
How does the number of homeless families compare to, let's say, 5 years ago before you started the Intact Families program?
Well, I mean, it was definitely, it's always happened. And it's going to be, it really depends on the circumstances of the city in many ways. Clearly, COVID changed everything for everybody. However, that again, it was happening before then. So let's say a family is living their life, right? And things are fine and somebody gets very, very sick or somebody loses a job for whatever reason. You know, many things can happen. And the days go by so quickly. So, you know, trying to find a new job or if you're having somebody in the hospital, you know, it's taking away your time from your job. And all these things are, you know, happen and the bills start coming in so quickly and then rent is due. And if you can't make rent, that, you know, they will evict you. And then you have an eviction on your record. So the system as a whole kind of, it kind of hurts in many, many ways. So if somebody has an eviction, it makes it 10 times harder for them to rent someplace new when they can. You're also looking at the very high deposits and the high rents right now. And if you compare the rents to the average, you know, median income, they don't match. you know? And so it's been happening for quite a long time. COVID did change the game for that. However, right now our, you know, our housing prices and rent prices are so high that you have to think, like, when things start falling apart and income stops coming in, everything piles up so much and so quickly, the number gets so big that it almost seems insurmountable to, you know, to get through it.
Yeah. Do you think the numbers of homeless families will increase in the future or kind of level off?
I can't make that prediction. I know what's happening today. And what's happening today is there's not enough low-income housing in really good, healthy areas that is truly affordable, that allows families to thrive in parks and by McDonald's and Starbucks, like everybody else, where they can get transportation easily. And, you know, there's just not enough of that. So, you know, even if we were to start building a bunch of it in this next year, there will still not be enough of it, you know, but anything we can do to increase that's going to help quite a bit. We only have, I believe it's 25 beds for that program. We're hoping to grow it. I am in the middle of a capital campaign right now, which is $85 million for the whole campus. Shelter of Hope, which is women and children, which will be phase one, is $25 million. And that'll expand all of our women and children services. So we will have, you know, more space for people. Intact Families will ultimately have its own standalone area. So we'll be able to increase those beds. But if we have a family that comes in, let's say it's two sisters, and each sister has four kids or three kids, you have seven total plus the adults. And so we have to start looking for placement for them without them feeling rushed into that, so that we can make sure that we can accommodate more people that are coming in. The team has done an incredible, I mean, honestly, a magical job at doing that. And I mean, honestly, I'm blown away by the work they do every day, taking care of these families, that they feel loved and secured and safe, and their ability to place them has just been amazing.
Yeah. Now, obviously, offering them a place to stay together during times of need is fantastic, but what would have to happen for a bigger long-term solution for these families?
Well, what we do for them here is we look at all the circumstances that are going on in their life, and we work with those. We work with the circumstances one at a time, you know, whether it's job, health. Remember, when a family gets displaced, the children get displaced, right? So they're out of their school zone. They're out of their school area. We work with the schools to make sure as much as we possibly can that they are not disrupted in the current school. So we're working with that. There's a lot of things that go into play so that these families can get sustainable and back on their feet. And so the answer to that is so many things have to come into play. Knowing that we could get some people into, you know, a very nice, affordable apartment, you know, that's in a good area, more of those being built would be a huge, huge help to help people get sustainable and stay sustainable.
Yeah, for sure. And you said there's no time limit as to how long they can stay at the shelter in the Intact Families program?
No, we've had families here in upwards of a year before, because again, there's a lot that goes involved in that. I mean, you can't, you know, finding a job sometimes takes a month, if not more, to find that, right? Then you have childcare on top of that, you have children, transportation on top of that, and all the things in between. If there's a loss of documentation, you know, we have to gather all those things again. Sometimes people lose bank accounts, so we have to work with that again. And we're working with all of those entities here. So, and some of those things take time, and we want, you know, people to be able to save money so that we can help them, you know, get them where they need to be. And none of this stuff is a quick fix. It takes time.
Yeah, definitely. Where can people go if they want to find out more about the Las Vegas Rescue Mission, all the ways that you help people in the community, or if they would like to donate or volunteer to help out?
Yes, we need all of those things. VegasRescue.org. And to volunteer, you would go to the Get Involved tab, find the Volunteer tab, and fill out the Volunteer Hub form. And then it will show you all the ways that are open for volunteer work. It's always mostly going to be in our kitchen, and it will be in the evening.
Helping to serve all those meals.
Yes, it takes 18 volunteers a night to serve what we serve every single night. So it takes a lot of manpower to do that. A lot of people very much want to volunteer during November, December, and of course over Easter. But we're here every day. We're here every day. During COVID, we never missed a hot meal. So when we won't, you know, we won't be stopping now. So we need a lot of volunteers for that. But there is an organized manner in which that's done so that we can keep it on the calendar right. And to donate, you know, in general, there's donate tabs all over our homepage, as well as the capital campaign.
Okay, awesome. So once again, the website is vegasrescue.org, vegasrescue.org. You can click on Get Involved and choose the Volunteer tab if you would like to help out by giving your time to volunteer with the Las Vegas Rescue Mission, serving those meals, those 1,000 meals that they serve every night to people in need. Or if you would like to donate, you can click on the Donate tab. Or if you have access to people who want to help out on a larger scale, the capital campaign is underway as well. VegasRescue.org. And we've been speaking today with Heather Engel. She's the CEO of the Las Vegas Rescue Mission. And Heather, I really appreciate you being here and sharing what the mission is doing to help out members of the community who need it so badly, especially the Intact Families program, which nobody else is doing. It's absolutely fantastic what you're doing. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it. Anything we can do to, you know, humanize homelessness is wonderful. You know, and I'll leave you with this coming into any of the seasons, really, but since we're in the holiday seasons, is that we never know somebody's story. We don't know anything about them. So, you know, to keep the judgment at bay and to look at people as somebody that's needing help. And if any of our family members were in need, we sure want them to have, you know, a good, safe place to come without feeling, you know, judged.
Yeah, absolutely.
Serving my country changed my life forever. And when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped. But everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Anthony Anderson, NAACP Image Award winner, Emmy and Golden Globe nominated actor and comedian, and host of the game show We Are Family. Forming healthier habits is often top of mind as we approach the new year. Anthony is currently spreading the word about type 2 diabetes with the Get Real About Diabetes campaign. Anthony, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Heather.
Now, you're known for being funny, but diabetes isn't funny. What's your personal story of dealing with type 2 diabetes?
You know, I was the first person diagnosed in my family with type 2 diabetes. Then there was my mom, and then my dad. And my dad was diagnosed at my urging, because once I was diagnosed, I saw what the symptoms were and realized these were the same symptoms that my dad had when I was growing up. And he went to the doctor and was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic, but unfortunately had been living with the disease for close to 25 years, undiagnosed and unchecked. So you can imagine how the disease has wrecked his body over 25 years with no diagnosis, no medication, and continuing to live the gluttonous lifestyle that, you know, we were all living to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And unfortunately, I lost my father to complications not long after he was diagnosed.
Wow.
So that's why I'm here, you know, sharing my testimony and telling my story about what it is and what it means for men in particular to go to the doctors to get a checkup, because we rarely do that. And that's why I partnered with Novo Nordisk, and we came up with this campaign called Get Real About Diabetes. And people can go to our website, getrealaboutdiabetes.com. and ask questions and get information about type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Now, what were some of these symptoms that you were noticing in your dad as well as in yourself?
Well, in myself, constant urination, unquenchable thirst, midday naps, and just being tired and lethargic. And so those were my symptoms. And, you know, once I realized what was going on and after I got diagnosed, it just took me back to my youth. And I was like, this is what my dad was going through, you know. And the symptoms may be different for individuals, but this was something that I recognized in my father after, you know, I recognized it in myself. And if people are out there feeling this way and they're just thinking, oh, well, I'm, you know, I'm burning the candle at both ends, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that, go to the doctor. Let's see if there's something more to just burning the candle at both ends. So please go to the doctor and get a checkup, you know, because one, it could prevent something from happening. Two, if you already have it, you know, they can get you on the right path to helping you deal with whatever it is that you may be diagnosed with.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's obvious why you're passionate about spreading awareness of type 2 diabetes, but how is the Black community specifically disproportionately affected by type 2 diabetes?
You know, unfortunately, I can't answer why, but we are leading the pack in it. You know, I don't know why that is, but that's why, you know, it's important, you know, for people like me to share their stories, to use their platform, to get the African-American community as much information about it as we possibly can, to encourage the African-American community, in particular African-American men, to get to the doctor and get checked up. But I can't tell you the reason that we are disproportionately affected with diabetes more so than everybody else. But it's across the board in every race. But unfortunately, we are leading that race. And that's why it's of paramount that we go to the doctor on a consistent basis to see what's going on within our body.
Definitely. Yeah. Now, after diagnosis, what changes did you make to prioritize your health and wellness?
The changes I made were lifestyle changes. You know, it took a while for me to really take control of that and make those changes. But, you know, diet and exercise were at the top of the list, you know, controlling what I put into my body and then getting out and exercising. And, you know, I was a big boy. So, you know, losing the weight, losing the visceral fat that I had surrounding my organs, because, you know, that was causing my ailments, or part of the cause. So it was just a matter of making these lifestyle changes and committing to them. You know, it's one thing to make a change. It's another to stay committed to it. And that's what we have to do. We have to make a commitment to this lifestyle change, or it will wreak havoc if we don't.
Yeah. So you did mention the website, but where can our audience go to learn more about type 2 diabetes and the Get Real About Diabetes campaign?
That's it. They can go to getrealaboutdiabetes.com to get the information that we're providing them, but also go to your doctor. You know, I would say that go to the doctor and just get a checkup for everything. You know, I just recently did a show called The Real Full Monty, and it was to bring awareness to men for prostate, colorectal, and testicular cancer. You know, just going to the doctor to have a routine checkup can find all kinds of things, or your doctor may give you a clean bill of health, but you will never know that unless you go to the doctor to receive a checkup.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. All right. So once again, that website is getrealaboutdiabetes.com, getrealaboutdiabetes.com. You'll see actor and comedian Anthony Anderson right there on the homepage, and plenty of information about diabetes and why it's so important to go to your doctor on a regular basis and get checked out. We've been speaking today with Anthony Anderson, NAACP Image Award winner, Emmy and Golden Globe nominated actor and comedian, and host of the game show We Are Family. And Anthony, I really appreciate you being here, spreading the word about type 2 diabetes, especially among the Black community, as you mentioned, is hit the hardest. So thank you so much for sharing today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Heather.
If only life had a remote control, you could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me today is Dr. Christopher Liu, gastrointestinal oncologist and medical advisor for the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, as well as Alyssa Kay, colorectal cancer patient diagnosed at age 37 while she was pregnant. Advances in biomarker testing are transforming colorectal cancer treatment, offering patients therapies tailored to their unique cancer profile. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
So, Dr. Liu, what exactly is the Colorectal Cancer Alliance?
So the Colorectal Cancer Alliance is the leading organization that's dedicated to the advocacy and treatment for patients with colorectal cancer. They also specialize a lot in what we're talking about today, and that is biomarkers for colorectal cancer.
What are the symptoms of colorectal cancer?
You know, as it is with many cancers, the symptoms for colorectal cancer when people present with colorectal cancer are fairly vague. Some of the more common symptoms that patients describe would be abdominal pain, having a lower red blood cell count. One of the key findings for any patient that may be diagnosed with colorectal cancer is just seeing blood in the stool. That is an unusual finding. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have colorectal cancer. It just means that it's a symptom that should not be ignored and should definitely be discussed with your provider.
Okay. Now, you mentioned biomarkers. What exactly are they?
So biomarkers are really any test that's designed to find something unique or specific about a person's cancer. So this could be a gene or a protein. And what this is it gives providers the ability to be able to personalize therapy unique to that patient's treatment. And so what this means is instead of a one-size-fits-all treatment like chemotherapy that obviously has a lot of side effects, it's possible for physicians to be able to select a targeted therapy or an immune-based therapy that may be not only more effective against a patient's tumor, but may also have less side effects as well.
Okay, so how would these other types of therapies that could be identified through biomarker testing work? What types of treatment are they exactly?
So it's a great question. So if you find a mutation in a specific gene within a tumor, it is possible to be able to offer a patient a drug that can actually hit that specific mutation within the tumor. And so, you know, actually one of the most recent FDA approvals for colorectal cancer targets a gene called KRAS, one of the most commonly mutated genes in colorectal cancer. This is a very, very exciting situation because if you find a gene and you can target it, not only is that more specific to the cancer and more effective, it also potentially has less side effects.
Interesting. Okay. Alyssa, what has your experience with colorectal cancer been like?
So it all kind of started when I was 27 weeks pregnant with my son. And that's when I found out that I had stage 4 colon cancer. And along with one of the biomarkers that worked, the first time it did not work for the biomarkers, but for the second time it worked. And so along with the chemo and everything that was going through, it's kind of been kind of like a roller coaster up and down.
Yeah. And, you know, Heather, it's kind of interesting when you think about even Alyssa's story, when you start out initially with kind of like a one size fits all type treatment like chemotherapy, Alyssa's story really kind of brings that home. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. With the biomarker testing that Alyssa received, it allowed her providers to actually select the right targeted therapy to treat her cancer. It's really, you know, one of the success stories of when we find more information out about the tumor, you can actually select the more effective therapy. And I think that that's why Alyssa is in the situation that she is right now, where she actually has no evidence of disease, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's basically like trying to figure out a puzzle and you've got the data and what does that mean kind of thing?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's just really, number one, looking. And that's one of the main take-home messages that we want everybody to come away with. If you have a diagnosis of colorectal cancer, just ask your doctor, has my tumor been tested for biomarkers? If it has, how will it impact my treatment? In other words, will it make a change in my treatment where I may be able to get a more effective therapy? And the other thing is that it's okay to wait to get that biomarker testing back to make sure that you get started on the right treatment. That's one of the things that we want everybody to know.
Okay. And what's involved in doing the biomarker testing?
Yeah, and so a lot of times, honestly, on the patient side, it's mainly just asking. And this is something that Alyssa and her family went through, where she asked for biomarker testing to make sure that it got done. On the provider or physician side, it sometimes means doing a blood test. Sometimes it actually means doing a test on the tumor, but that's something that all hospitals and they can even send these tumors out to other companies to get this testing done. But it can be done, and it should be done.
Okay. And what about insurance coverage? Is that a factor in getting biomarker testing done?
I think one of the things that we all worry about is, and I'm sure Alyssa can attest to this too, am I going to receive a gigantic bill when it comes to, getting biomarker testing? We want to reassure people there are FDA-approved tests for biomarkers that are largely covered by insurance. This is becoming less and less of a problem because we're in a new age of cancer therapy where biomarkers are expected to be tested for, and we expect it to modify a patient's treatment plan. There are also patient support programs for this testing as well, just in case. But for more information, we want everybody to have, the ability to go to this website, colorectalcancer.org/biomarkers. That's colorectalcancer.org/biomarkers to get more information about this testing and how it may impact their treatment.
Awesome. And Alyssa, any final words that you would like others to know if they're going through the colorectal cancer journey as well?
Yes, if you think that you have like the symptoms, I'd rather have them go get checked out and go talk to their doctor and get a colonoscopy done.
Nice. Okay. So once again, that website is colorectalcancer.org/biomarkers. That's the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, colorectalcancer.org/biomarkers. And you can find out all about the new biomarker testing and how it can help patients who are going through colorectal cancer. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Christopher Liu. He's a gastrointestinal oncologist and a medical advisor for the Colorectal Cancer Alliance, as well as Alyssa Kay, who's a colorectal cancer patient. And I really appreciate you both being here and raising awareness about these new treatment options that people could take advantage of if they find themselves on that journey. So thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get-screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and joining me is Dr. Bruce Scott, President of the American Medical Association, or AMA. Doctors are facing their fifth consecutive year of Medicare cuts, and according to the American Medical Association, this is leading to reduced access to care for patients. Dr. Scott, thank you so much for being here today. So first of all, what do Medicare cuts mean for you and your practice?
Patients are having increasing difficulty getting an appointment to see their doctor, and practices like mine are struggling to survive. A big part of the problem is that Medicare payment to physician practices has actually gone down 29% since 2001. Can you imagine getting paid 30% less for the same work today as what you were paid in 2001? At the same time, we all know that costs have gone up considerably in the last two decades. And to make matters worse, the federal government is planning another cut for 2025, starting January the 1st. And at the same time, they're predicting that our cost of providing that care is going to increase. At the end of the day, it's the patients who are harmed because it's unsustainable if we continue these cuts.
Okay, let's talk about that. How do these Medicare cuts impact patients?
Well, for the patients, it means more and more of their physicians may be forced to limit the number of patients that they see, to cut costs by eliminating staff or not updating their technology or their equipment, or in some cases, closing their practices altogether. There's a study that shows that one in five physicians hope to leave clinical practice within the next 2 years, and we already face a shortage of physicians. It is estimated that we will face a shortage of up to 80,000 physicians in the coming years, and it takes 8 to 10 years to train a new physician. At the same time, for many physicians right now, one more year of these cuts may be the last year in which they're able to continue to practice. At the end of the day, it's the patients who suffer.
So obviously Medicare cuts impact seniors the most, but how do they affect other patients too?
Well, the seniors are certainly impacted and all those on Medicare. But you see, what's happened is the insurance companies, well aware of the predictable downward spiral of Medicare payment over the last 20 years, have tied their payment to the Medicare rate. So at the end of the day, all of this is pushing physician practices to the brink of financial failure, and in some cases, over the edge. The result? All patients will suffer as physicians make cuts, and in some cases, the physicians close their practice altogether.
What are some of the ways the AMA is advocating to stop another pay cut in 2025?
Well, the AMA is calling upon Congress to fix this problem, to roll back this planned cut, and to link the updates of physician payment to the cost of providing care. This is not some radical idea. It simply means that what were paid would go up as the cost of providing the care would go up.
How can members of the community get involved or make their voices heard to help prevent another Medicare payment cut?
And we need the patients of America to get involved, to let their voice be heard. If you're a patient who's concerned about access to be able to get in to see your doctor or for your physician's practice to even survive, then you need to go to fixmedicarenow.org. This is a website that the AMA has created that provide more information about the whole problem we're facing and give you information about how you can contact your member of Congress to make sure that they hear your voice, that you're concerned about continued access to your physician. FixMedicareNow.org.
All right. So once again, that website is FixMedicareNow.org. FixMedicareNow.org. That's put out by the American Medical Association, or AMA. You can find out more about the proposed Medicare cuts, and you can help make your voice heard if you don't want that to happen. FixMedicareNow.org. And we've been speaking today with Dr. Bruce Scott. He's the president of the American Medical Association, or AMA. And Dr. Scott, I really appreciate you being here and raising awareness about this issue and letting us know, first of all, how it will impact doctors, how it will impact patients, and what listeners can do to help make their voices heard. So thank you so much for your time today.
Certainly.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Pam Shadle-Fisher, Senior Director of External Engagement for the Governor's Highway Safety Association, and Eli Pabon, Global Director of Road Safety for Amazon. Holiday celebrations and package deliveries are in full force, so what does that mean for road safety? Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays. So, Pam, what is the Governor's Highway Safety Association?
We get asked that question a lot, Heather, and I appreciate it. We are a national nonprofit. We're based in Washington, D.C., and we represent the 57 state and territorial highway safety offices. These are the government folks who are really working to make our roads safer for all road users. And they address those behavioral safety issues we think about, things like speeding and distraction and pedestrian bicycle safety, as well as seatbelt use, a whole range of things. So our role is really to work with them to help them make their roads as safe as possible so we all get where we're trying to go every day in a safe manner.
Awesome. And what kind of partnership does the Governor's Highway Safety Association have with Amazon?
Well, we're absolutely thrilled to be working with Amazon to really address this issue of road safety, particularly during the holiday season. But it's really a year-round issue. But we're focused on the holidays right now because we know there are so many folks out there on the road who are working to get
packages delivered for the holiday season. So we think it's a natural. They are just as involved in road safety as our organization is. So it's really a natural collaboration between the two of our entities to really help the public understand, hey, packages don't just appear magically at your doorstep. There's a man or a woman behind that delivery. And we want to make sure that they get to their destinations. They get your packages to you safely, but they also get back home to their loved ones as well.
Yeah, definitely. Eli, how is this year's holiday shipping season different from past years?
Yeah, not too much different. I think we're a little shorter this year between our Thanksgiving holiday and Christmas. So for Amazon, that meant, you know, extending deals a little bit earlier in the year so we could get folks their packages as soon as possible. But at the same time, and Pam and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, but even for those folks who are maybe a little behind on their holiday shopping, we're there for you. But as she said, I think this is a really important partnership to talk about, not just how do we keep delivery partners and folks that are out delivering safe on the road, but we want everyone to be safe this holiday season. So how do we ensure that we are partnering with GHSA to make sure that we talk about not just making sure our delivery partners are safe, but everyone's safe on the road this holiday season?
Yeah, definitely. So obviously the roads are congested and delivery trucks are stopping on every street. But as you mentioned, also, you know, fellow drivers, fellow commuters. Yeah. So how do we keep them all safe, the commuters and the delivery drivers?
Yeah, I think there's two ways to think about it. What do you do as a driver? And then what do you do as a customer? So as a driver, really three simple things. It's that time of year where, you know, things like winter weather might play a bigger factor than they normally do. But in general, slow down, slow your speed, make sure that you're traveling at a safe speed, especially this time of year. The second thing, distractions, right? Put the phone away, keep yourself paying attention. You do not need to answer a text or a call. Put it away. Make sure you are avoiding distractions while you're out on the road. And then I think, you know, during the holiday season, of course, you're going to have delivery partners out in neighborhoods, which also have kids home for the holidays from school. So especially in our neighborhoods, making sure that you're paying extra attention to pedestrians, folks that are out on the road, our delivery partners that are getting packages to the door. And then, you know, as a customer, really some simple things you can do. First, make sure your driveways and pathways to your doors are clear. That helps delivery partners get to your door safely. Make sure that you turn a light on. It's a simple thing. It gets darker earlier this time of year. So keeping that light on to make sure a delivery partner can find your door quickly, but also that they have a lighted path. And then I think everyone's expecting packages this time of year. And, you know, sometimes the barking of a dog will sort of let you know that somebody's there. But make sure that you're keeping your pet secure when you are getting a package.
Yeah, awesome advice. What safety precautions do the drivers themselves take?
Yeah, I think it's really important. So this year, Amazon's invested over $8 million in actual supplies to help our partners be ready. And that can be anything from things like ice scrapers, ice cleats, you know, winter weather warm-up kits, emergency roadside kits, things like that. But Amazon's really done a ton to invest in our partners' ability to have the right training to be out on road. And I know Pam talked about it, but things like, you know, driving without distraction, safe speed, those are fundamentals for all driving, not just for delivery partners. And so Amazon's really proud that we're able to do that for our partners. And again, I think the real important part is that's one half of the equation. We all can do our part as well on the road to make sure that we're all being safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, it's important to be safe on the road all the time. But as you've mentioned, during this time of year, we've got more drivers on the road and we've got packages being delivered. So definitely a great time to talk about this serious topic. And where can people go for more information on road safety, especially during the holidays?
Yeah, we want to direct everybody to ghsa.org/Amazon, and you can find the tips that Eli so eloquently shared with everybody. We encourage folks to go ahead and download that information, share it with your friends, family members, colleagues, neighbors. Help us spread the word about this. Really, you know, take this to heart. You know, we want everybody to be safe this holiday season, start the new year in a very, very positive way. So, you know, we can do very simple things that can make a huge difference and keep everybody safe out there on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So once again, that website is ghsa.org/Amazon. That stands for the Governor's Highway Safety Association. ghsa.org/Amazon. You can find plenty of tips on road safety during the holidays, how to make your area and your neighborhood safer for delivery drivers, and how to make sure that everybody makes it home safe during the holidays. And we've been speaking today with Pam Shadell Fisher. She's the Senior Director of External Engagement for the Governor's Highway Safety Association, as well as Eli Pabon, Global Director of Road Safety for Amazon. And I really appreciate you both being here and bringing up this topic of conversation that, you know, not everyone really thinks it through. And it's great to bring it to light and have people talking about it. And I really appreciate all the tips that you've shared, the safety tips, just absolutely great information. So thank you both for your time today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Happy holidays.
Yes, be safe.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Rana Jordan, manager of OnStar Subscription Sales. During the countdown to Christmas, children often write letters to Santa and line up to meet him at shopping centers. Now there's a new fun way to meet St. Nick with just the push of a button, and it could help raise money for the American Red Cross at the same time. Rana, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is the latest way for kids to connect with Santa Claus?
So we are very excited and proud to say that again this year, kids will be able to, starting on December 16th, for children whose families have a Chevy, GMC, Buick, or Cadillac vehicle equipped with an active OnStar plan, they can press that blue button and they can find the location of Santa's sleigh with a simple push of the button. They can talk to Santa directly. They can tell him, you know, what's on their wish list. They can have Santa read them a Christmas story. And then on Christmas Eve, they can press that OnStar blue button and find out where Santa is in the world.
Wow. Okay. So what are they likely to hear when they press it on Christmas Eve looking for his location?
Well, what they will hear is one of our OnStar Santa's elves, we'll call it. They will ask the kids if they want to know where Santa's location is, if they want to hear a story, if they want to talk to Santa, and then they'll be able to find out where in the world Santa is on that day.
Nice. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know my kids love it. So I get to drive them to school more than them taking the bus in the last couple of weeks of December, because they just want me to press that OnStar button so that they can talk to Santa or, you know, find out where he is on Christmas Eve.
Nice. Okay. Now, how does using the technology raise money for the American Red Cross?
Well, every time, for every request to locate Santa, OnStar will contribute $1 to the American Red Cross. And I believe to date, we've answered more than 100,000 requests to locate Santa.
Okay. So the other times that they press the button, not a donation, but on Christmas Eve, when they're looking for his location, that's when the donation kicks in?
That is correct.
Okay, perfect. So all the kids out there, make sure you are pressing that button on Christmas Eve and asking where Santa is, because each time you do that, they're donating a dollar to the American Red Cross, which is so awesome. Rana, why is the American Red Cross chosen as the charity partner?
We've collaborated and worked with the American Red Cross for several years now. And I know that obviously it's very, very important work that they do. So that's just something that we want to continue to support.
Awesome. Okay. So where can listeners go for more information about this initiative from OnStar?
Listeners can go to OnStar.com and you'll find all the information there on our Follow Santa.
Okay. So once again, that website is onstar.com OnStar.com. You can find out more about the initiative where kids can press that button, that OnStar button located in GM vehicles to access Santa, to let him know what they want for Christmas, and on Christmas Eve to find out where in the world he is at that point. And each time they do that, that's a donation of $1 to the American Red Cross. So OnStar.com is the place to get the information. And we've been speaking today with Rana Jordan. She's the manager of OnStar Subscription Sales. And Rana, what a fun idea. And so glad that you're here telling us more about it so that the kids can have that extra fun part to their Christmas. And in the meantime, help out the American Red Cross. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to be here. And I hope that we see lots of buying presses this year. Thank you so much for having me.
At Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and safe. And that means safe at home, at school, and online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
Learn more at childfund.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Melissa Foley, founder of Hopscotch Girls Presents. Her new Hopscotch Girls book series recognizes the need for children to develop a strong foundation in financial literacy and includes the titles Mia Madison, CEO, and The Pop-Up Shop Predicament. But a recent survey found that financial concerns are the most significant source of strain during the holiday season for adults as well. So Melissa also has some easy ways to be a positive role model for kids instead of letting stress get in the way. Melissa, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, what inspired you to write your new Hopscotch Girls books?
So we started out creating books for girls that were activity books. So I got my start doing coloring books and sticker books and that kind of thing. And this is our first time jumping into fiction. So Hopscotch Girls is all about building girls up and working towards a future with more women in positions of power. And that includes the boardroom. So we really just wanted to introduce girls to entrepreneurship in a way that's fun.
What age range are they written for?
This particular series is for girls and boys age 8 to 11. We have other activity books that are for kids from age 3 up.
Nice. Okay. Now, what kinds of important lessons do they teach kids?
So our books overall are all about building confidence and self-esteem. The Hopscotch Girls Presents fiction series is really kind of focused on this entrepreneurship angle. So we're just kind of planting the seed that even kids can have businesses because it turns out they can be so beneficial for kids. So even a business like a lemonade stand, babysitting, car washing, those kinds of things give kids an opportunity to practice being independent, experience leadership, and to learn about managing money.
That's fantastic because typically I find that financial literacy isn't really taught that much in school. So we need other ways to teach our kids about finances.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, nothing works better than them experiencing it themselves. And especially when they need to put money into their business and then they see what they get out and decide what to do with their hard-earned money.
Yeah. Now, speaking of finances, obviously it affects adults as well. What are some ways that we can better manage stress around finances, especially during the holiday season?
Well, you know, everyone likes to say it's the thought that counts. And I think there's definitely opportunity to look for gifts if you're wanting to give material gifts that are meaningful but won't break the bank, and they definitely exist. That's something, a gap that we try to fill with our products in particular for kids. So, you know, our books range from $6.99 and up. And so it's a way to give someone a gift that's meaningful, but really affordable.
And how can we be more positive role models for our kids while getting into the holiday spirit?
Kids are always watching us. And so we're role models, whether we like it or not. And so that's something that's really good to keep in mind. I think that for us parents, it's so common for us to get caught up in wanting to create this holiday magic that sometimes it gets a bit stressful for us. And I think it's a good reminder that kids pick up on that stuff too. So I'm always in favor of simplifying things and kind of prioritizing and making sure that everyone can enjoy the holidays together, not just the kids.
Yeah, for sure. Besides getting them your Hopscotch Girls books, how can we teach some financial strategies to our kids?
So, I mean, helping kids manage their money is a great place to start. So whether they've have birthday money left over, if they've earned it from their own kid business, helping kids figure out what to do with it can be really helpful. So if there's something that they've been wanting for a while, you can help your kid figure out, okay, how much money do you have? How much do you need to get this item? And then what are you going to do to fill the gap? That can be great. There's also some really helpful apps out there. My family uses the Greenlight app that allows me to kind of virtually, through the app, give my kids money when they earn it through chores and things like that. And they also have investment accounts that they've opened through the app. And so they practice saving their money and investing it even at a young age.
Yeah, that's great. Now, sometimes stress can lead to negative self-talk, which can lead to self-sabotage, both in ourselves and our kids. So how do we stop that cycle from happening?
It's hard. You know, it's hard to stop negative self-talk. There's a couple things that you can do. One of them is just to try to practice noticing it when you're doing it. Another thing that's been really successful for me is to be really conscious of how I'm talking to myself and think about if I'd be okay if my child was talking to herself that way. And if I wouldn't be okay with her doing it, then I'm not okay with me doing it. So that those are a couple of things that I found really helpful.
Yeah, for sure. Now, if there was one key message that you would like to give to kids this holiday season, what would it be?
I would love for kids to follow their passions and really, even though you're young, there's still opportunity to think about what you're really into and try to find a way to do it. I think, you know, starting a kid's business is one really fun way to do it. If you're into making friendship bracelets, like, hey, maybe that's a business. If you like animals, you could do pet sitting. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. What are some other tried and true beginning entrepreneurial things that kids can do?
I think when kids are really first starting out, they might not be ready to start an actual like kid business themselves. So one of the first things they could do is just with parents' help, what are some chores that they could do? So within their family, ways to earn money for specific jobs. That's an easy thing to do. The next level up is some kind of kid business that's like a one-off. You know, there's no ongoing obligation. So stands are great. You know, a lot of kids love to just put up a table in front of their house and sell lemonade in the summer. That kind of thing is a good way to get started. And then, of course, when they're more advanced, you know, if you've got a really ambitious kid, that might be the kid that wants to, you know, start their pet sitting business and things like that.
Awesome. Okay, so where can people find out more about financial literacy for kids or even get a copy of one of your Hopscotch Girl books?
So the fiction series is available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and at hopscotchgirls.com. And at our website, we also have resources for kids that are wanting to start their own kid businesses. So if they're not quite sure what kind of business they would want to do, we've got a tool that can help them figure that out. If they have an idea for a business, we've got a tool that can help them map it out and figure out how to market it and all that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so once again, the Hopscotch Girls Presents books can be found at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, bookshop.org, and also at the website hopscotchgirls.com. Now, the benefit of going to hopscotchgirls.com is you can also access resources for kids, financial literacy, starting a kid business, all of the kinds of stuff that we've been talking about today, hopscotchgirls.com. And we've been speaking today with Melissa Foley. She's the founder of Hopscotch Girls Presents. And Melissa, it's been great talking to you, getting some tips for the kids, for financial literacy, for stepping out on their own, gaining that independence, and dealing with stress during the holiday season that can often come with finances. So thank you so much for your time and talking to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The annual Candy Cane House holiday-themed walkthrough event to raise funds for Hope Link of Southern Nevada is back for the fifth year, featuring over 80 decorated Christmas trees and 60,000 lights. The Candy Cane House is a free holiday experience in the private residence of Victor Cardenas and Joey Cardona, but of course, donations are strongly encouraged to benefit Hope Link of Southern Nevada and their mission to prevent homelessness, preserve families, and provide hope. Candy Cane House tours are happening Thursdays through Sundays between 6 and 9 p.m., including tonight, every weekend until Christmas, with the final tours next weekend at 366 South Milan Street in Henderson. That's 366 South Milan Street in Henderson. And the 9th Annual Holiday Giving Drive to support the Nevada Partnership for Homeless Youth, or NPHY, is currently underway. Community support is needed to fulfill thousands of wishes that can give vulnerable youth a brighter holiday season. You can purchase and donate items from the holiday wish list, become a holiday wish sponsor, or take your new unwrapped gift donations directly to the NPHY Drop-In Center at 4981 Shirley Street near UNLV this Monday, December 16th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can also volunteer at the It's a Wrap Holiday Block Party next Saturday, December 21st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., also at the NPHY Drop-In Center. Help make holiday cards or sort and wrap thousands of gifts for homeless youth. The outdoor event includes sweet treats, hot chocolate, an ugly sweater contest, and other holiday cheer. Sign up to participate or get more info at nphy.org/holidaygiving. That's nphy.org/holidaygiving.